Here we go from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher. Good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Been a while since I've seen numbers like this on the dairy. Bit ugly.
A bit ugly, yeah, Mike. Of course, all the focus economically today will be on that labour, on those labour figures, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But yep, overnight global dairy trade auction, which points to another one of the critical levers and inputs into our economic performance, which is the price of our exports. And yes, a bit of a downer in the results this morning. So at the headline level, global dairy trade price index, the index is down 5.1%, which is a reasonably material number. We have had a period of relative stability on this, though. I mean, we've had six auctions in a row of either very small decreases or increases. And at that auction on the 7th of July, we got that very good morale-boosting 8.3% jump in the index. So 5.1% fall, not a great outcome. Price indications leading into this were suggesting a small fall, but perhaps not to this level. And the big categories have worn the pain here. Skim milk powder has fallen 4.6%, and the important whole milk powder down 7.5%. I would note that the volumes of this auction, Mike, were materially higher than at the previous auction, so there's more product to be digested. But look, good to have a bit of context. Context here is whole milk powder index, the average price just a tad over $3,000 US, $3,003. So that's down from $3,218. But if I look sort of March right through to July, we were sitting on around a little bit under $2,800 US, so still well above those levels. Okay. The thing is, at the worst of the pandemic, the Kiwi dollar was about 60 cents against the US dollar. It's 10% higher than that now, so that impacts on the conversion back to New Zealand dollars. So how Fonterra has hedged the exchange rate risk will have a bearing on what feeds through to them and ultimately feeds through to the farmer's bottom line as well.
Indeed. So numbers today, everyone's got a guess. It seems to be somewhere between 5 and 7, but you may as well have a dartboard.
Yeah, so there's plenty of talk about the quantum of this number, or rather numbers, and it's important to remember, Mike, today there's a lot of information that's released. It's not just about the unemployment rate. And I think over the last couple of days you've run through some of the economic forecasts, you've run through the various range. So I want to make a couple of comments. So first of all, be aware that there's a broad range of outcome here. And the key to this is the number of moving parts in the background. So what that means is that the number is not only going to be pretty hard to sort of unpick, but it also will need to be, and to use today's parlance, it'll need to be unpicked and unpacked, in other words, analysed, because remember when we used to use simple words, to be completely understood. So at one level, think about what's called the participation rate. How many people are actively involved? And it makes a big difference, because if the participation rate moves, it moves the unemployment rate. And so you need to consider whether people have simply given up and stepped away from the labour market altogether. There have been issues around data collection as well. I mean, Mike, I've been trying to keep you posted on these new monthly employment indicators. This is data which is coming out on a more regular basis, high frequency. It comes from tax information. That has been suggesting that we're going to see a lower unemployment rate than had been originally feared. But Mike, there are other subtle factors at play here. You know, what if employers have been reducing worker hours? And I think Kate had somebody talking, an economist talking earlier on, who was talking about the underutilization rate. And that's important, because if you shut your restaurant down one day a week, exactly, then all of a sudden people are earning 20% less, but you're still employed, aren't you? And of course, I'm not even going to talk about the impact of the wage subsidy, because, you know, I've seen numbers floating around that you've got hundreds of thousands of people that are either on the tail out of the original subsidy or the new
1.7 million.
Yeah, and the new extension, remember, those people that are on the new wage subsidy extension, I mean, those businesses are in trouble. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on the extension. So they're high risk. So, look, yep, could have any number between 5 and 7%, and we've just got to wait and see.
Let's talk about it tomorrow. What are the numbers for now?
Rightio, Dow Jones looking good, 26,763, up 99 points, that's 0.37%. The Dow Jones just a smidgen over 3,300, that's up 5 points, 0.17%. The Nasdaq holding steady, 10,905, that's up about 3 points at the moment. Overnight, FTSE 100, 6036, up 3. The Nikkei up 378 points, that's a 1.7% gain, 22573. and the Shanghai Composite up 3 points, 3371. The ASX 200 gained 111 points yesterday. Strong there, 1.88%, closing at 6037. We also had a nice little pop-up on the NZX 50 yesterday, up 0.91%, 105 points, 11,771. On the currencies, 0.6611 against the US, 0.9242 Aussie, 0.5611 euro, 0.5062 pounds, 69.94 against the yen. And we need the drum roll here, Mike.
What have we got?
Here we go. Gold, $2,006. It broke the $2,000 mark. Still very strong. And Brent crude, $44.71.
You have a good one, mate. Appreciate it very much. Andrew Kelleher from jmiwealth.co.nz.